Well, tonight's session is totally different than anything else we've talked about thus far. We don't even have a PowerPoint. Can you imagine that? There are no printed notes in your notebook for this session. Can you imagine that? And it's not because we couldn't have come up with a little something. It's not because I just jotted this together before I came up here. That's not it at all. But frankly, on purpose, we want this session to be a little different. I told you earlier this morning that we did a complete audit of all of our material, and we've changed a ton of it. A lot of what you've heard today is presented for the first time. There's a few things that aren't changing, and one of them is this session. And in my mind, as I've thought about biblical counseling training over the years and thought about this particular conference and what we're trying to accomplish, I think the truth from the scripture that we're trying to present tonight is a really important piece of this entire conference experience. And so that's why we're doing it the way that we're doing it tonight, to try to accentuate its uniqueness. Maybe to introduce all this, there's so many different ways to go, but let me start by telling you four brief but true stories. And as you hear some of this, you'll think I'm making it up. Frankly, I'm not smart enough to make this up, okay? These are true stories, and they'll just be brief, but think about what are the commonalities. Think about what are the commonalities. First of all, a California community sponsored a foot race as part of a summer festival. And to show off, a bodybuilder entered the race with a refrigerator strapped to his back. Not surprisingly, he was injured during the course of that event. Story number two, also from the world of sports. Two men who owned a hot air balloon got it wet in a race and wanted to dry it quickly. So they went to the local laundromat, stuffed the hot air balloon into a commercial-sized dryer, which subsequently exploded, injuring the two men in the process. Story number three, to the world of pranks. Six mischievous youngsters set fire to a toad after dousing it with gasoline. Regrettably, some of the children were burned, not severely, but burned during the course of that event. Now, story number four from the world of lawn care. An obese man with a history of coronary artery disease was having trouble starting his pull-start lawnmower. And in the course of trying to get his lawnmower started, he suffered a heart attack. Now, in the four cases that I've just mentioned, there are a lot of commonalities, aren't there? Now, obviously, one of them would be, in each case, somebody involved suffered some sort of an injury. And secondly, each person was doing something unwise that either caused the injury or certainly contributed to what happened. Thirdly, each person involved should have learned some lessons, which would have motivated them to change their behavior in the future and take responsibility for what had just happened to them. You would agree with all that, would you not? No question about that. For example, the bodybuilder, there was a lesson he should have learned. Don't show off. Or if you're going to show off, do it with one of those dorm room-sized refrigerators, not a full-size Frigidaire. Or the guys in the hot air balloon. I think you would agree they should have had to pay for that dryer. And they should have learned you don't abuse the equipment that somebody else has purchased in order to conduct his business. Or the kids in the toad. Don't play with gasoline. Take care of God's creation if toads fit into that. But some lesson there for sure. Or the man and his mower should have taken perhaps better care of his health. Or if he was in a position where his heart was weak, maybe buy a electric start mower. I mean, there's no question there should have been lessons learned, and there should have been responsibility taken. But friends, that's not even close to what happened in those four cases. The bodybuilder with the fridge on his back sued the manufacturer of the strap and won the case. Then the men in the hot air balloon. They sued not the owner of the laundromat, but American Dryer Manufacturing Industries, and they collected $885,000 in that case. The kids in the toad, see, who'd they sue? Well, not the toad. The lawyers checked, and the toad didn't have much money. So, speaking of toads, that didn't come out right. But they actually got all the parents together and filed a class action lawsuit against Eagle Manufacturing Company, the company that manufactured the gas can. And the man in his mower, he sued Sears and Roebuck, and the jury awarded that man $1.7 million in that case. Now, the point is this. In our day and age, the average American consumer wants to assign a great weight of responsibility to everybody else in the equation while taking very little responsibility him or herself. Is that true? Yeah, that is obviously true. However, if we're not careful, the ways of the world have a way of rubbing off on us, where when a problem comes up, we are just really adept at blaming everybody else in the situation while taking very little responsibility ourselves. Could I get a on that? And that's why I want to talk to you tonight about a tendency that I think will hinder your oneness with your spouse. It will ruin, potentially, your relationship with your children. It will significantly impact, in a negative way, the relationships that you have with people in your church, especially the leadership team that you work on, and on and on and on. And I would like us to look at a passage of Scripture that will help us understand that dynamic better. And here's the point, friends, before we even look at the passage. The best counselor is first a good counselee. And we've had a lot of principles last night. We talked about why counsel. We talked about theory this morning, what makes biblical counseling biblical. We've talked about all these key elements. We had a counseling. We've had all sorts of stuff. And what's about to happen is there's going to be a transition in the material over the next couple of days where we're going to talk more and more specifically about sanctification. We're going to talk more and more about the heart. Then we're going to talk about marriage, and we're going to talk about communication. We're going to talk about parenting. We're going to talk about anger. We're going to talk about all of the garden variety kind of topics that come up in the counseling process. But if when you leave here Friday, you have your head stuffed with facts about all the ways you're going to help everybody else in your life change, maybe you missed a very important step in the process. The best counselor is first a good counselee. And my job tonight is to soften all of our hearts on that particular point. Now, with that in mind, open your Bible, if you would, to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I love the book of 1 John. Absolutely love it. The preachers who are here have probably preached verse by verse through this book many times. If you haven't recently, I would certainly encourage you to do that. There's so much important truth in this particular book. One of the reasons I love the book of 1 John is because John actually tells us exactly why he wrote it. And any good author explains to you, here's the purpose for my book. And in John's case, he gives three of them. The one I like to think about, first of all, is at the end of the book, chapter 5, verse 13, because this is the verse that was used to bring me to Christ, and where John says, I have written these things unto you who believe on the name of the Son of God. Why? What's the purpose? Clause, so that you might know that you have eternal life. So one of the purposes of the book of 1 John was that you would have greater assurance of your salvation. And aren't you glad we have a God who's made it clear that you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? And you can know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven. So that's one of the purposes of this book, is that you would have greater assurance of your salvation. The other two purposes are found in the first part of the book. Let me read beginning in chapter 1, verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Now, what we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship.